This is the Todd and Friends podcast.
I don't like to waffle on predictions. That doesn't mean I always hope I'm right.
Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, come on.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Todd, I knew we'd agree on something here.
From the KWLM Sports Studio.
I'm Todd Brigette. The podcast is brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers and the sports director at MNN, is our guest today on a Friday, normally Thursdays, but Grimmer was busy with various things yesterday, so we're glad Jeff Ash could step in and switch days, Grimmer. And I want to ask you about the Vikings and the draft a little bit later on. You're my Gophers guy. You're the voice of the Gophers, obviously. You know, it's kind of like I haven't been a huge fan of the transfer portal, I have to admit, but it does add kind of an off-season of player acquisition to the college game that really we didn't have outside of just what freshmen are coming in. Now it's almost like it's trade season, or there's a big off-season now in college sports too. What's a little bit of a positive?
Yeah, no doubt. It's almost, you know, the NFL, they seem to be able to create news out of anything. And yep. I guess from that standpoint, college football, college basketball, is getting some attention right now. And honestly, in the portal side of it, you know, and I get it, you know, it's just a changing deal. So
yep.
The good news if you're a Gopher fan, so let's just talk from that perspective, is yep. the Gopher football team, again, knock on wood, I mean, they're still nervous because kids can get into the portal through May 1st, but they, I'm going to say, since the portal started, have been a net positive. In other words, the guys that have left would not have probably given the team as much as the guys they brought in. The Gophers of football has been pretty good about bringing in guys that have started, contributed, been impact players this year especially. I think I'm excited to see some of these guys. They got a transfer wide receiver from Georgia committed last week. Actually, it was this week. It was Tuesday. This week he came to practice. The kid was like 110 ranked high school player in the country, period. And, you know, when you go to Georgia, you got some depth chart issues and you're trying to, you know, figure it out. Minnesota has done okay in those things where they've gone in and gotten some guys. They've done it two ways. They've either gone into big schools where someone might be buried on a depth chart and the kid's going to be good. They did that with there was O.J. Smith, a lineman from Alabama, Chris Williamson, a defensive back who's in the NFL now from Florida. And then they've done it the other way where they go to the lower levels like they have done now with Max Brosman, their starting quarterback. But Jack Henderson, their starting nickel. Jack Gibbons, remember him? He's a starting linebacker for the Titans now. He came from, I believe it was Abilene Christian. So there's ways to do it. Right now on the basketball side, I don't think it's been a net positive, but it's still open for business because Ben Johnson is certainly now out there, you know, pounding the pavement, trying to find some people to take the spot of a couple of guys that he thought he would have that ended up, you know, leaving. So, and in basketball, it's a little different because one or two transfers can literally change. It can be a 10-win, 10-loss swing, right, in basketball. Football with 100 guys and different things, you can withstand maybe some stuff, but we'll see where the basketball thing takes. I know they've got some, you know, they had some kids on campus over the weekend and heading into this weekend, and we'll see who they add to the roster.
Know anything about this Brennan Rigsby that is coming from Oregon?
Nothing more than the picture that I got in an email.
Okay,
that he was coming. I think he averaged 6 points a game at Oregon. And you might say, well, 6 points, what kind of impact can he have? Well, look, Oregon was a pretty good team in a pretty good league. I mean, Oregon's not recruiting, you know, scrubs, let's put it that way. So hopefully this is another case of you know, you get a guy from a big-name program who, you know, is kind of – I mean, the guy started a bunch of games for him. So, he can play. So that's good news. Like, again, that can be a net positive in terms of, you know, and I'm not saying he's going to take the spot of Joshua, Ola, Joseph. They don't even play the same spots. But, you know, in terms of – you look who you lose, you look who you gain. They got the kid from Canisius who looks to be just a beast of a physical specimen.
Yeah.
Could he take the spot of Pharrell Payne? I hope so. I mean, when it really comes to it, you remove emotion from it. I mean, Pharrell averaged 9 points and 6 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
Can that guy from Canisius give you 9 points and 6 rebounds? I think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows, right? I mean, sometimes we grasp at straws of hope. And the Hawkins deal is a tough one because he, and I don't blame him. I mean, I don't know if you saw the comments of Greg Gard, because Wisconsin's really been hit with the portal situation as well. They lost their point guard, Chucky Heffern. They lost their leading scorer, A.J. Storr. And now there's even more controversy with Storr, apparently, because I think he let the cat out of the bag that there were schools contacting him in February, which, of course, is completely against the rules. Mm-hmm. And so I think there could be some investigation into some of that stuff. But, you know, in Hawkins' case, twice, two different times, he announced he was coming back.
Yep.
And then coaching changes, I believe. It sounds like coaching changes at certain schools with roster turnover that might have a little bigger pool of money, started putting feelers out, and you know, next thing you know, this kid can make a lot more money. And look, I can't blame a 20-year-old or a 21-year-old who might be able to make $200 or $300 additional $1,000. Like I put myself in those shoes, and you know, there, someone came to me and said, "Hey, you can do the same thing. You just have to move and go to a different radio station or network, and we're going to pay you another $300,000. I might think about going.
Yeah.
I just might, you know, and I love what I do here. But, and you know, loyalty and all that stuff can be a factor, but, you know, that's kind of where we sit right now with this thing.
I always like to say it's easy to turn down someone else's money. Until it's offered to you, you know,
until it's offered to you.
You can't even legitimately say what you would do. So
yeah, even like this Live tour, right?
Yep,
I get that. I'm not a huge fan of it. I wish they'd all stay together.
Me
it
too.
Probably hasn't been great for golf. But that said, you know, and look, I know the Saudis are, you know, they've got I don't know, blood on their hands or whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that money is going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
right? Like it's not like they're just going to put that money in a bucket and bury it and never spend it. So my theory is always, the money's going to be used somewhere. I'd be happy to spend it for you. So, you know, I don't know. The whole thing is a little crazy, and it all kind of continues to, you know, the question of whether it's sustainable or not. I was at football practice on Tuesday. They had their final football practice, and just talking with a few people there, they were like, I can't believe, I'm not even sure if I don't know if I should even go with this, but they can't believe how hard PJ Fleck is working to try to get money from people. He's meeting with donors, he's having lunches, he's doing all this stuff just to say, look, we got to keep this roster intact. Like I said, they're still nervous because the kids can enter the portals until May 1st, and you know, nothing is stable. But right now, football is it would be what I would determine a net positive on the portal. So you're right. All of that talk comes back to, yeah, there's some attention being given to it. We're talking about roster changes here in late April for football and basketball.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. I kind of wish it hadn't happened, but now that it has, you know, you have to embrace the chaos a little bit and you know, root for your coaches to bring in, you know, some quality replacements and so forth. That's just how it is now. So how did it work with Hawkins? Are they allowed to just call him up when he's not in the transfer portal and say, hey, go in the portal, we've got money for you? That seems like tampering.
Yeah, there are some tampered rules, although that has become much more lax. And again, it comes down to the idea, like, a kid's not going to enter, because you know what we hear a lot? Well, he entered the portal, and now he doesn't have any scholarship offers, and the kid gets ripped for that. So we all on the flip side can't rip someone for saying, you know, well, he made sure he had a spot before he entered the portal. But I do think there is, you know, however they do it. They used to do this with just straight transfers, because you weren't able to, you know, back even when they had to sit a year out, you still weren't able to really contact anybody, and there was no portal, and you would oftentimes go through a high school coach or a AAU coach or you know, some sort of a contact, a cousin, you know.
And
we always heard the old story, well, he talked to his uncle, and his uncle came in and said, hey, they've got this or whatever. So I think with Hawkins, I'm sure it was a third-party contact from a couple of different schools, or the rumblings behind the scenes are that it involves some schools that had some coaching changes and need some rosters, and they got some money. And they look, that's the one thing, too, in Minnesota and others, where when you publicly go out and say, hey, we need everyone to donate because we're behind. Well, guess what? When someone needs a roster and a roster replacement, and they're like, well, who can we go outbid? Oh, yeah, Minnesota's been talking about not having any money.
Yeah.
Let's look at their roster. Who can we raid? Oh, they got an all-Big Ten point guard.
Wow.
We need a point guard.
Yeah.
So let's reach out to his AAU coach. And I'm not saying that's what happened here, but these are all, you know, hypothetical. So, but I do think there is something to be said. Remember when PJ really went off for about a two-week stretch in the fall about how everyone needed to donate and and all this stuff? I think he realized, oh man, this is one, people didn't receive it great, but look, that's just because we're, you know, it's just a weird feeling to have that told to us. But two, I think he also realized, oh man, I've just opened the door because now everyone realizes we don't have anything. So you haven't heard much from him about that other than I think he's doing a lot of his work now more behind the scenes to try to make sure there's money coming in without just proclaiming, hey, anyone can come in and outbid us because we have no money. So it's all, you know, it's just all a weird, there's so many tentacles to it. It's a pretty crazy time right now. I'm happy that the players are getting something. I thought this would be a good idea, but I also, from the very get-go, thought that this is what would happen, that it would just become a crazy Wild West thing. I hope they can somehow get it more regulated. Problem is, every time they try to regulate now, they get sued, and they don't even take it to court. They just say, oh, we don't want to get sued anymore, so now you got multi-time transfers. That's the thing with Hawkins. When he committed last May, and he had transferred, that would have been his one-time shot. So now he's got 2 years left. Ben Johnson and company's feeling great, right? We got a two-year point guard here.
And they changed the rules,
They changed the rule. You can transfer at any point. And even yesterday I was reading they want to put in some more rules about target dates and everything. And I'm like, why? They're just going to get sued, and they're going to say, okay, I guess you can do this. I'm waiting at some point, and this is a facetious joke, but at some point, you know, in some February game that the Gophers will be playing Ohio State, and the Ohio State guy will get hurt, and the next thing we know at halftime, a Gopher player will come out in an Ohio State uniform and say he entered the portal, and he just got more money, middle of the game. You know, I mean, and who's going to stop?
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of the, I mean, of course that won't happen, but I don't know. There's stuff happening now that I thought would never happen either,
right.
So.
Hey, one of the things that I thought might never happen, but with all the changing landscape, is Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back.
Yeah,
so it brings to my mind the Gophers season that was vacated when they were 24-3 one year, the Final Four banner that hasn't been allowed to hang in Williams Arena. All that should be wiped, and that should be reinstated. Those wins and all that, the banner should be allowed, the Final Four banner back at Williams Arena.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I will say the difference is, one, you know, the Gophers part was an academic deal,
yeah,
and those things are still mostly in place. That said, now on a total flip side of that, I was in, as you know, I was out in South Dakota for the regional hockey finals, and the Gophers are playing in Sioux Falls, and driving out there, they have an 80-mile-an-hour speed limit now.
Yep.
And on the freeway, which I couldn't believe. I hadn't been out to South Dakota for a while.
Yep.
And I got to thinking, if by that way of thinking, think about all the people over the years who, back when it was 55 miles an hour, got tickets. I would go now and say, listen, it's 80. I want my money back. I paid that fine. Because I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of this because the rules are the rules. I don't have anything against Reggie Bush, but just because the rules change now, I don't understand it. Like, I think you lose some of your guiding principles if you're just gonna, well, it's legal now, even though it wasn't then. Because my theory then is, well, why are we, what are we doing? Like, it just, it had, you know, the rules were the rules. Like the steroids guys, if that's the case, put them in. Who cares, right? In the Hall of Fame or all this stuff. I mean, and which is a whole other tangent, right? A whole other target.
Right.
But I honestly am not a huge fan of it.
All right.
Because the rules were the rules then.
Yep.
Just because they've changed now, like what Reggie Bush got busted for back then, most of it would be legal now.
Yeah.
But to me, that still doesn't, it still doesn't make it, oh, well, since the rules change, we'll give him this Heisman back. I'm happy for him. It's great. I'm not going to lose an ounce of sleep over it. But to me, just in principle, I still think the rules were the rules, and just because they've changed now, you know, it'd be like, hey, let's go in and watch all the replays of, Trent Tucker's games at Minnesota, and anything that looks like it would have been a three, let's add a point to his point total, and, and we'll just change it. Well, those weren't the rules then. Yeah. So, you know, anyway.
Tucker would have hit a lot of threes back in the day. Yeah. That's right. He came in the gym shooting the basketball.
And not to mention if there was the three, because back then it was only worth two, so you just wouldn't take them very often. Yeah. Where if you were a good shooter now, everyone's taking them, even if they can't shoot them, as we've seen. And so Trent Tucker, you know, might have only taken two or three of those long shots a game because they were only worth two, but he was good. And so if they were worth three, he might be like guys are now, take 14 a night. I mean, that guy might have had another 1,000-point scoring for the Gophers.
Probably would have, no doubt about it. Yeah. Hey, so did you watch the draft last night? I mean, I was pretty excited. Yeah. I thought it would wind up J.J. McCarthy the whole time. I'm just glad they didn't have to sacrifice any additional first-round picks, you know, some third and fourth and fifth-rounders or whatever it was. Yeah. I thought Kwesi Adofe-Mensah did well last night.
I agree. I maybe overpaid a little for that Jacksonville pick, but again, like he said, I was actually out at the Vikings headquarters for it, so was kind of there just covering for M&N. And I thought this is exactly how I would operate. He's like, I didn't want to, you know, in 3 years have that kid be an all pro for somebody else and say, if I'd have just given Jacksonville the extra fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look, fifth-round picks are fifth-round picks. You could draft a future Hall of Famer. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. You know, there's a bunch of guys that have been great. I mean, Stephon Diggs was what? Was he a fourth or fifth-round pick?
Yep,
you know?
Fifth-round.
So it's not to say that they're not important, but by the same token, if you got an opportunity and you like the kid, I've generally myself just think draft picks are a little overvalued because – you know, just even look at the Vikings in recent years, even at the top of the level, the first round picks, those should be the most sure shot bets, and they just haven't been. I mean, you know, they flashed up all the Bears first round picks and the quarterbacks. You know, I mean, the New York Jets have, I think, drafted like five quarterbacks in the first round in the last, whatever, 10 years or whatever it is. Go back to Geno Smith and Zach Wilson and. None of them have been any good. So there's, you know, was Sam Darnold, was he a Jets pick? I think he was, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
And, you know, they were all top 10-ish kind of picks or at least first-round picks. So there's no guarantees. So I think they're generally overvalued. But that said, you don't want to just give them away. So I thought it was right. I agree. I mean, I'm listening to local radio here in the Twin Cities yesterday afternoon, driving over to the Vikings facility, and they're taking calls from fans, and everyone's like, give up the picks. This year, next year, if you think he's the guy. And so the fact that they didn't really have to do much, I mean, they ended up giving up, you know, they moved up one spot because you just don't know. I mean, Denver, Las Vegas, some other, even the Jets themselves could have drafted McCarthy there because I think they'll need a quarterback too. So, I tip my cap. I thought it was a good return on day one. Now, nothing today unless they make some trades. They have no second or thirds, and then they've got, what, five more picks tomorrow. Yeah. Next year they have only three draft picks because to get the first-round pick this year from Houston, they gave up some, and then they gave up, I think, the fourth and the fifth next year to move up to get the kid from Alabama last night. They should get some comp picks, though, for losing some free agents, and their cap number is just going to sink. So they should be able to supplement what they don't get in the draft with some free agents. So I do think it's pretty exciting. That said, I thought the Bears had a great draft. I thought the Lions did another good job. They've had three or four really good drafts in a row, and they've been good in free agency and the defending champs. And the Packers are always good in terms of how they develop players. So, man, the NFC Central –
tough.
Or NFC North, has, you know, that's a wicked league right now. So
sure
you've got to be on your game.
Yeah. Grimmer, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, always enjoy it, Todd. Thank you.
Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers on the Todd and Friends podcast. It's brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Watch for future episodes of the Todd and Friends podcast at KWLM.com or on the air here at KWLM 1340 AM and 96.3 FM.